go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Ben Bolin, here with our auto editor, Scott Benjamin. Scott, you look different.
I do?
Yeah, you look a little, I don't know, you look happy, bit of a glow.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. May I be frank?
Yep, please do.
You look a little smug.
Oh, okay. I don't take that as a diss or anything. I'm all right with that.
Oh, okay.
Smug's good with me.
Well, I'm just wondering, what's got you so chipper today?
Well, I guess I'm satisfied. I've recently completed a successful repair on my car.
Oh, yeah? You know, it's funny you mention that, because I was actually gonna ask you.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's weird how these things work out.
It's funny.
I've been dying to know what is it? There seems to be some sort of universal satisfaction that people have from fixing their own cars.
Well, that does tie right in with our topic today, doesn't it? Yeah, but yeah. There is a satisfaction to it. You're right, and yeah, I'm feeling it today. That's right, and I'll tell you why. Simple as this, I replaced the headlights on my car.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Simple as that. It makes you feel good about yourself. There's just something about it. I mean, I did that, and they work, and they'll hopefully work for a long time.
Yeah, I've noticed that pretty much everybody who owns a car at some point surprises themselves with their ability to make a repair.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I wouldn't say that I was even surprised by that because, you know, the lights are not a big deal.
Well,
oil changes aren't a big
case.
Deal. There's a lot of things that really aren't a big deal to a lot of people, but even so, it's still satisfying. I mean, I'm happy to have completed it. You know, there are no problems. I didn't drop anything. I didn't break anything. Everything went real well, and it makes you feel good.
Now, you strike me as a guy who's made a lot of repairs on a lot of different cars.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes in the dark of night, you know, with holding a flashlight in my mouth, you know, that type of thing. Yeah, so it's happened quite a bit over the years.
Yeah, I've had a couple of trial by fire situations myself.
I got to ask you. What maybe you've had some repairs that you've done on your own vehicle?
Yeah, well, yeah, I know
like
you
what?
Wouldn't
I mean,
think.
No, I just want to know what you've done.
Oh,
anything?
Man.
Think of like a decent example, something that you were extremely satisfied that you completed.
Oh, okay. Decent example. Okay, something easy, I guess. This probably has happened to everybody. The first time I got a flat tire when I was a wee young lad of 15, actually kind of taking my parents' car without getting, formal permission or whatever. The tire went flat, and I sort of knew how to change a tire, but I remember looking through the trunk, kind of panicking. What is this thing? What does that do? Oh, okay, there's the spare. Figuring out those lug nuts are on there pretty tight, which in retrospect is reassuring, but sure put a cramp in my afternoon.
All right, another podcast, by the way. We figure out how you got the car home with a flat tire before your parents realized it was gone, right?
You know, there are a lot of stories in my checkered past.
Now, maybe we won't delve too deep.
Well, on the repair, I think the main thing is that I did figure out how to do it. And I guess I always knew, because it's a pretty simple thing people should know. Yeah, I was pretty proud that I managed to do it.
Sure. Gave you a good feeling, didn't it?
Yes.
I mean, we've talked about this just briefly before, and That's a good example, the tire example. But I mean, even if it's something as simple as we even mentioned, you know, you replace a dome light in the car, you find a fuse that's gone bad, or you know, that speaker that keeps going out in the back, you know, you figure out that it's a loose wire and you plug that back in. Simple things, but still extremely satisfying, because when that works, after you've done that work, you know, you didn't have to take it to somebody to figure it out. That is satisfaction. That's when you realize, like, you know, I did that, and I'm proud of that.
Now, you know, a lot of our listeners probably get the idea that you've been sort of living and breathing cars since you were living and breathing. But I've heard a couple rumors that you weren't always this auto efficient.
Oh, well, maybe.
Got any stories for me?
I've had some good things and some bad things, of course. You know, early on, bad things just because it's trial and error.
Okay.
You know, you have to give everything a shot at least once, I guess, to see if, you know, you can do that or not. But I've had a significant amount of successes as well. You know, I've had a few cars that, you know, more challenging than others. And, you know, at the same time, those to me were more satisfying than others because, you know, I knew every bit of that car. I had an MG for a while, a 1966 MG Arkley SS.
Oh, yeah.
And that car, to me, that was both the most satisfying and the most, I don't know, frustrating at times. I literally carried a box with string and hoses and all kinds of tape and, spare parts and tools and, just anything that you could imagine was in that box. And there were many times I had to limp home, but I always was able to make it home. And to me, that was satisfying. I could get home and do a proper repair at that point.
Man, so you kind of had the MacGyver.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And that vehicle in particular, there was a time when I lost the engine in that car at one point. The rod went right through the block. I took it on a long trip I shouldn't have. And, it's meant for, around town.
Sure.
I blew the engine up. So I removed it, bought a new one, rebuilt the new one, and replaced the engine, and it worked. And I tell you, at some point or another, I had every, little nut and bolt of that engine or that car in my hand. I was examining it, cleaning it, lubricating it to put it back in the engine, whatever it was. But at some point, I had every piece of that car in my hand and was, knew what it was all about and how it worked with other parts. From that point forward, just driving it, you get this sense of pride, that it's working and that you've done that.
Right, but Scott, how long did that take?
It took quite a while. I had a friend that, guided me along. He was, standing right there next to me, but I was doing most of the work. He was doing some of it, things that I just didn't quite understand, how to do. But it's, as long as you take your time and you, it's not as difficult as most people think. You take your time, you just really look at what you're doing, think about what you're doing, read up on it if you have to, talk to somebody who knows what they're doing. As long as you're careful and cautious about it, it's not as difficult as most people believe it to be. It's not sorcery. It's easy.
Well, my friend, I am not the most talented grease monkey.
No, but you're shortchanging yourself because I know what you're about to say.
Oh, you do?
We've talked about this in the past, and I think I know what you're going to say.
Oh, yeah. Scott knows this one, you guys.
Yeah.
It's the one story of the time I did something cool on a car.
Well, tell it. Bring it.
Okay. We'll keep it brief because I know you have to hear this about once a week whenever you...
Oh, no, not at all. I've only heard it once.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you. So there I am again in my somewhere in the shadowy past of my teen years, mm-hmm. and car stopped. Don't know why. Doesn't really turn. Couldn't mm-hmm. figure anything out. Car stopped, and thankfully, just a few blocks down from where I actually lived, and I looked around. And I saw this thing that looked kind of like a belt or some sort of strap, and I got the feeling it wasn't where it was supposed to be.
Mm.
And so I checked around, and I ended up walking to a nearby auto store, telling the guy the problem, getting told that it was an alternator, which I had frankly only heard of at the time, deciding that I could change it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think about six and a half hours later.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, I know I dramatize this sometimes depending on, how cool I think I am, but we'll keep it brief. So mm-hmm. about 6.5 hours later, some of my friends stopping by to encourage or jeer at me,
mm-hmm.
I did actually manage to get that bad boy in there mm-hmm. and to get the belt on. And it blew me away, man. That thing was hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the Carmen San Diego of the engine,
But once again, this comes right back to what we're talking about. What did you feel like when you were done with that repair? Pretty proud?
I felt like burning the car.
You felt frustrated then.
But
right?
I was proud.
You were frustrated with a successful repair? or just at your bloody knuckles after you, pulled your hands out of the engine compartment there.
Scott, you weren't there.
Yeah.
And you're being glib. No, I'm kidding. But I guess one of the reasons we've been talking about this is because, you see on the site a lot of articles that explain the basics of how something works,
mm-hmm.
which is an essential part of knowing how to repair
mm-hmm.
a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our readers seem particularly drawn to this. You can't really cast a demographic, or predict a demographic rather, of people who repair cars, because at some time or another, everybody ends up doing something.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, no matter how big, no matter how small. I mean, we gave an extreme example of the engine replacement.
Sure.
That's a big one. Transmission replacement. I did one of those early on that was...
You did a transmission?
Relatively unsuccessful. Yeah. it was a bad part, that I got. But it was successful in that, I changed mm-hmm. the old one for the new one. The new one didn't work. I had to take out the new
Not
one.
Not your fault.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's what I like to say, even now, 20 years later. I mean, everybody at some point does something, and, you know, big or small, it's all rewarding.
Sure, even if it's as simple as, you know, a car wash or windshield wipers, right?
Windshield wipers are big. Car wash,
you're not going to count a car wash.
I don't know. Right? Maybe not. Depends on the level you take it to. But windshield wipers, also extremely satisfying because those things are tough, even for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, even for me. I say it like, you know, I do it all the time. But even for me, that's
yeah,
that's
I saw you earlier in the parking deck, actually, yeah, just changing out windshield wipers at random. Was that you?
No way. I wouldn't touch those if I... If I don't have to, I won't touch those. Those are tricky.
Scott, thanks so much for sitting down and taking the time to tell me a couple of your automotive war stories here.
Anytime, Ben.
And for those of you out there who are feeling the itch of your inner mechanic, feel free to swing by the Auto Channel to learn more about do-it-yourself repairs on HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.